Pipoji, thank you for asking. We all very well.
Good morning, Chi. Good morning, everyone.
Morning. I hope I'm not going to be messed up today because I am. I don't know. Maybe Honorable Nonsala will advise in terms of the network. I've taken that risk. But I hope I'm audible. Honorable members, we will request Mr. Sakaza to take us through, because I don't want us to take long. I would appreciate if it's possible by 12:30 we are done, because preliminary today, I'm told it starts at 2, and that it's starting at 2, we are the first in the order paper as employment and labor. Can I then request Mr. Sakaza to take us through the roll call? Mr. Sakaza.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning to Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee on Labor. Chair, the roll call today, just forgot to record. The roll call for today, Chair, stands like this. We've got Honorable Chair, Honorable Junja. We've got Honorable Mdabe. We've got Honorable Nonsele. We've got Honorable Bagram. We've got Honorable Kado. We've got Honorable Denner so far, Chair, from the members. And from the support staff, we've got myself, Poshia, the committee assistant, Ngobo, Smongsen, the content advisor, and Mukwena Tebuho, the researcher, Chair. That's all from my side, Chair. I only received, Chair, sorry, the an apology from Honorable Mkonto. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Have we lost, Chair?
Thank you, Mr. Sakaza. From the department? Anybody from the department?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. And good morning to the honorable members. Vuyuma Fata here, Chair, the Commissioner of the Compensation Fund. Also standing in for the DG, who is going in for his second jab this morning, Chair. So introducing the colleagues from the department, I am with the senior management team of the Compensation Fund, Ms. Fazana Fakir, who is the Chief Director for Orthotics and Rehabilitation, Ms. Millie Reiters, who is the Chief Director for Medical Benefits, Mr. Johnny Mudiba, who is the Chief Operations Officer, Mr. Julian Supen, who is the Chief Director for COID Services, Mr. Linda Gota, who is the Acting Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Lindile Mhlungu, who is the Acting Chief Director of Corporate Support, Ms. Jotsana Achari, who is the Director for our Accountant Training Office, who is also then the Coordinator of the Clean Audit Initiative. We also have Ms. From the department, also with the Chief of Staff, who is with us, Mr. Kangala Mudumela, the head of the DM's office, Mr. Sandisile Moweni, Karabo Makhakhani from the DM's office. We have also Ms. Matapelo Matabuche from the DG's office, and Mr. Musa Zondi, who is the department's spokesperson. Ms. Meja Tongwan, who is also the director ICT at the Compensation Fund. Chair, I think we've introduced everybody who's from the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I don't know what's happening now. I think I saw the Deputy Minister. Is she in?
Good morning, Chair. I'm here.
Thank you, DM. I say the whole, should I say the whole army from the compensation fund is here today. But without wasting any time, we will we are only dealing with this with this plan from the compensation fund. Members will understand that will remember that yesterday we had to postpone dealing with quarter one and quarter two. I think quarter three and quarter four was going to be done today, but we are not going to be dealing with all those because of the challenge that we outlined yesterday. So today it's only the compensation fund that we are then going to be dealing with. DM, just a minute to introduce if you have got any political overview so that we hand over to Mr. Mafaka to take us through.
Chair, thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I don't have much to say, but just to record the apology of the Minister who has attended the NCCC today, I would like to take this opportunity, Chair, because we are presenting a project plan in terms of the Clean Audit Action Plan, and I think at this point in time, we must allow the Commissioner to proceed to make a presentation to the Honorable Committee. Thank you so much.
Thank you, GM. Over to you, Mr. Mafaka. Mr. Mafaka.
Thank you, Chair.
I'm giving you from now, it's what? I'm giving you from now until 11.
Okay, Chair. I'll do that, Chair. I'll do my best to try and summarize the whole plan. I'm trying to share the presentation. Thank you, Chair. Chair, this is the action plan that we've developed in a process that was led by the DG following our appearance before the committee, as well as our appearance before SCOPA, out of the feedback and the report that was given by the Auditor General to the Compensation Fund. The plan basically is designed in a way that we are going to make sure that we implement most of the activities within the shortest period of time. And a lot of those activities we've targeted to implement by end of this calendar year, around November 2021. With a number of other activities, just a small number of activities, those that are long-term in nature that would then be implemented over the remaining year. So we, as part of the process that we've done, there has been those biweekly meetings with the DG and the Minister and the Executive Committee of the Compensation Fund, where the implementation of this particular plan has then been closely monitored. And as I indicated, the DG did convene then the management of a series of meetings to try and develop this particular plan so that it responds to the issues as highlighted by the AG. We did a lot of consultations, including with the Auditor General, the Audit Committee of the fund as well, a lot of the inputs that were then incorporated into the action plan to make sure that all the inputs that were given by the relevant stakeholders are taken into account in the development of this action plan. We finally sealed the action plan at the end of July after having done all the consultations with the stakeholders, and now we are in full implementation mode. As I indicated, the plan is then broken down into these activities in terms of the timeframes. Short-term actions are all those that are implementable from the date. We started implementing some of the activities concurrently with the development of the plan. Even when we were busy with the consultation process, some of those activities that we felt were a bit more urgent, we started implementing those concurrently. And then there are some that would then be medium-term that are implementable over the next calendar year, and those that are long-term in nature, which would then have been completed by end of after 2022, which is just a small amount of the activities. So we've broken down this in terms of the line items as they appear on the auditor general's audit report. And each of the segments there, we have then identified key activities that would help us to address the weakness in the control environment and make sure that then we respond to those issues that have been raised as risky areas in the compensation fund, that if we address these, we would then change the audit outcomes and make sure that these controls that are implemented. So the controls that we've tried to design in this action plan are both controls as well as detective controls over and above monitoring controls that we also then implement to make sure that even where we've implemented controls, these controls don't get breached. And if they get breached, we make sure that we're then able to implement improvements over the period of the implementation of the plan and beyond. So when it comes to revenue, so this slide, Chair, I'll take it as read. It's a lot of the, so what we had to do, we had to assess, because there was a lot of work that had been done in the previous action plans to deal with the same issues. So we then had to look at the things that we had done, and a lot of those that we've spoken about in the previous appearances around changes in the policy, changes in the systems, so a lot of controls that we had already implemented with regards to revenue. And then this action plan then takes over from where we left. Part of the issues that had been raised around completeness of revenue, so we have some actions that are relating to how we then manage the return of earnings that are submitted to the fund, which is the starting point for the whole recognition and measurement of revenue that we report in our annual financial statements. So there are some activities that we then came up with, which related to making sure that all ROEs at the end of the filing season, at the end of May this year, we've accounted for all of them and make sure that there is a streamlined process towards dealing with the return of earnings. And these activities that have been implemented, all of these were then due for implementation in the shortest possible time, the end of July, to make sure that whatever we've received as revenue for this current financial year, we can then see it as complete. We also then looked at the issues around how we manage. There was a lot of issues that were raised around compliance by employers. Over and above the issues of compliance, there was also the lack and the weaknesses in enforcement of compliance of revenue that is collected by the fund. So a lot of activities around forging closer working relations with the inspections and enforcement. So there were some of the detailed demands or requests that we've made to the Inspector General at the Department of Employment and Labour, with the specific requirements that we've set around how we then want the reporting on compliance. And we're now using this reporting to be able to give feedback to the Inspector General in areas where we need more enforcement to be done. This is a process that is going to take us a bit of a while, because we know that there is limitations also with the number of inspectors that we have, but there are some other compensating processes that we're busy with in terms of appointment of auditors that would then assist and augment the work that the inspectors are doing with regards to ensuring completeness and accuracy of earnings that are declared by employers to the compensation fund, as well as returns that are submitted. We then also have activities related to how we then automate the whole ROE process to make sure that we leave no room for incompleteness of revenue with regards to some ROEs that would have been submitted manually. So these are the activities that we have in this area. We're also doing a lot of activities around the data cleansing, Chair. So we've already started. Part of the activities that we had here was the issue of analysis and comparison of our data with the other relevant databases within government, such as CIPD, the Unemployment Fund. And there has been some analysis work and is some other follow-up activities that we've agreed to with the CIPC, which is the entity responsible for registration of companies in the country. So there is some agreements we've had now around how we're going to then make sure that we work to make sure that the employers who are registered with the fund and who are registered with CIPC and are in operations also do register with the fund and vice versa. So these are all the activities around how we then clean the data that we have for employers and how we then make sure that what we use as the database of employers for the purposes of generating returns of earnings and making sure that those are assessed, those are as accurate and complete as possible, where employers are still active and are operating businesses. We then also looked at some of the detective controls that we wanted to implement around the system enhancements, how we then configure our systems to make sure that we're able to give us the reports that we need to pick up areas where there's gaps or where there is any lapses in controls, so that those can then be attended to before they become actual risks that have materialized. So this relates to the where the subclass changes, where employers move between classes, because that has an impact on revenue, making sure that the employers are registered in the correct classes, as well as they're looking at registration of employers and making sure that the database is complete. We're also looking at a number of issues related to the system around making sure that the workflows to address the issues around segregation. This is one of the risky areas that control weaknesses that have been raised by the AG. And also, so these are some of the things that we're looking at, and also looking at the adequacy of the current only method that the fund uses to verify and confirm that an employer is indeed compliant with the compensation fund is the letter of good standing, which has up to since 2012 has been automated and has been savings that employers should be able to get online. But we've determined that there are some weaknesses with regard to the old process, because we have seen some instances where these letters get faked by fraudsters. So we are looking at ways how we can improve the security around the letter of good standing. So that's the activity that is included in the action plan. If I just move to benefits, I've summarized the issues within revenue. When we look at benefits, also there's a number of issues that had been raised, and that's where the major areas of weaknesses had been reported in the auditor chamber's report, largely owing to the systems that we're using at the time, and also the fact that the systems were not enabling the AG to be able to have alternate audit procedures in instances where, for example, documentation is not submitted, but information is captured on the system directly. So there is a lot of work that we did in that same system itself, as well as in the CompEasy system, when we introduced the CompEasy system to be able to address a lot of the control weaknesses that had been highlighted in prior audit reports. So this slide then details a lot of those control improvements that we had brought in the fund. So when we look at the activities that we've come up with to try and address these issues, one of the issues had been the completeness and accuracy of information. That is, whether the claims that we've paid in instances where medical service providers have been overpaid, or where there has been some legal proceedings with certain medical service providers, how do we then make sure that this information that is used is reconciled and is complete and accurate? So these are the activities that we've come up with to make sure that we address these issues. There had been also issues that had been raised in benefits with regards to advance payments that were made in the past to service providers or medical service providers, which had been deemed to be irregular expenditure. So there are processes that we have put in the action plan to make sure that we close off on those. Already, I think at the end of August, we had already managed to finalize and close off on two of those four medical service providers that had been paid as a result of the activities. So here we're then looking at how we then make sure that those invoices that we've utilized to be able to clear off against that those advance payments do not get submitted again by the same medical service providers to the fund. We then also implemented a number of detective controls as well as preventative controls through the implementation of the account verification system is one of the activities that we've included, and also the issues related to exceptions reports that can then help us to be able to proactively detect any breaches of the controls that we've implemented with regard to management of banking details and how we then pay both claimants as well as medical service providers. We also look at the controls around the claims that are already in the system. There is a lot of analytical work that we've put in the action plan to make sure that we implement some kind of reports and analytical tools to detect any weaknesses that may arise out of the data that we have in the system. The cleanup of the Active Directory, these are all the issues that are also helping us to respond to fraud, because fraud is also one of the major issues that has also led to some of the challenges in the compensation fund. So all these activities that we have here, these preventative as well as reactive controls, are then aimed at making sure that we eliminate and cap fraud that happens around payments of benefits as well as payment of medical benefits where it relates to medical service providers. The issues related to user access is one of the issues that had been raised that also leads to control weaknesses with regard to processing of claims. So the activities that are here is around how do we then make sure that any person who uses the system of the fund, only people who are still in the employ of the department, have been given access to systems, are the only persons that have access to systems where people leave the fund of the department, shouldn't then be having access to the system. So the activities that we've put in here are aimed at making sure that there is proactiveness with regards to how we manage those. The issues around how do we then vet and make sure that medical service providers that we have on our system and the ones that are submitting invoices and are being paid are legitimate medical service providers. So the interfaces that we have with the relevant bodies that are custodians of some of the information relating to medical service providers who can claim from medical aid. We also then had some actions that are related to making sure that those are put in place. The issues around capacitating the medical benefits units as well as the compensation benefits units to make sure that we deal with the issues related to liabilities that may arise out of legal actions where we do not pay or we may have not been paying the claims on time or not paying the, some of the claims at all. So to address some of these issues, we're also looking at human resource capacity with regards to those two areas of compensation benefits as well as medical benefits. We're also looking at also improving the security as well around the data that we use, information that we get from Home Affairs with regard to validating claimants who claim a compensation fund. There is an activity that we've looked at so that we know that whoever submits a claim to the compensation fund, over and above relying on the information that is submitted by the employer, that we should also have an independent process of checking whether this person does indeed exist and this person is, in the cases of fatalities, whether this person is indeed deceased before we can process and pay some of these claims. We're also looking at some of our liabilities that we have in the statement of financial position or position of the fund, the balance sheet, as there has been some issues that were also raised by the Auditor General in that area. So there is a lot of work that we're doing around the pensioners' data to make sure that the value the pensions that or capitalized values of pensions that we provide for in our balance sheet are accurate and complete, and the work that is done by the actuaries can actually be supported by the reports that are coming out of the Compizy system. So there is activities that we have here with regard to that capitalized values of pensions reports to make sure that those liabilities are accurate and complete on the balance sheet. We're also looking at the system issues to make sure that there are some preventative controls around payment of pensions. So a lot of the issues around where pensions are no longer in alive, we need to make sure that we proactively identify those and stop it, as opposed to being reactive and waiting for the notifications from the families. So there's a lot of those activities around how we then improve our systems to make sure that this data gets into the system, the reconciliations that we do, make sure that the pensions that we pay are complete, accurate, and are backed up by adequate data or supporting documentation. We're also looking at the data that is relating to pensions, the constant attendance allowances, making sure that we do have accurate listings. Part of the limitations that had been placed on the Auditor General in the past had been also the fact that we could not submit and supply some detailed listings on some of the items that are on the financial systems, and largely owing to the fact that the systems that we had weren't configured in such a way that they're able to then produce the lists that are required as and when they are required. But now with the Compizy system, we actually are creating those reports, and the activities that were here were around how those reports are completed and validate the completeness and accuracy of those reports to make sure that we can be able to produce them yes, and when they are required, and also for the purposes of conducting reconciliations. That would help us to know whether the information is complete and accurate. So this slide also then still relates to the same issues relating to making sure that the data that we have with regard to pensioners is complete and accurate. I'll just skip. Then I'll go to the other item with regard to claims is around the provisions that we make. So as a insurer, we expected to provide for outstanding claims where claims would have taken place in the labor market, but may have not, or incidents may have taken place in the labor market, but may have not been reported to the fund. And in some cases where they have taken place, they may have been reported to the fund, but the claim had not been finalized. So we are required from an accounting point of view to provide for such liabilities. So one of the issues that had been raised by the Auditor General had been the uneasiness around some of the assumptions that are being made by the actuaries when they calculate this particular provisions, which is an estimate. When they estimate this provision, they use a lot of assumptions, and they use a lot of assumptions because of the number of systems that we've used in the past and the fact that we had not done a complete data migration into new systems whenever we moved. So data was lying in disparate systems, and as a result, some of the data may not be complete when it's given to the actuary. So we then decided we needed to make sure that we come up with a document or come up with a policy that would then help us to be able to know what is the assumptions that are to be used on the outstanding claims reserves, what are the cutoff points, what are the issues that are in the data that are causing the actuaries to be able to make a lot of these assumptions that are often doubted then by the Auditor General. So these activities are aimed at making sure that we then address the issues related to these outstanding claims reserves. So these are the activities that have been identified with regard to the outstanding claims reserves. We then also said one of the things that we needed to do also was, because there's a lot of prior period errors that had been identified in audit reports of prior years, some of whom would have been addressed in subsequent years with the enhancements that we're doing on the systems and some of the changes that we would then make on the financial statements, but not all of them had been addressed. So one of the activities that we had resolved to undertake in the action plan is to do an in-depth analysis of all these other prior year errors so that we can look at where there is necessity for adjustments to be made and where there are others that may have fallen by the wayside that may not necessarily need adjustments anymore, so that we can then have a bit of focus on those ones that require actions still. So that's one of the activities that we have then targeted in the action plan. When it comes to the issues around investments, there was a number of issues that the AG had raised around the monitoring of the PIC with regard to investments in social responsible investments, some of the issues related to the valuations of these investments, as well as the inability of the fund to be able to get all the information that is required to be able to do a proper consolidation of these financials into the financial statements of the fund. So the activities that we've identified here are around how do we monitor the PIC to make sure that we continue to, we proactively prevent some of the losses that we've suffered in the fund and some of the risk exposures that we've had in the fund, as well as how we then make sure that we address some of those weaknesses that the AG has addressed with regard to our valuations. So one of the things that we've done is the PAC has agreed for us to utilize the panel of companies that are appointed by them to do valuations. So we will then also be doing grub valuations to then be able to make sure that we compare those with the valuations that are done on the PIC side, and also to make sure that we also then get to, on a quarterly basis, validate the quarterly financials of the investee companies so that at the end of the financial year, when we do consolidate, at least we have head side of the financials and we have done some high-level review on them without necessarily having to wait for audited financial statements from these companies, because that has been one of the things that has been causing us to delay in preparing our own financial statements, because some of these companies do their audits much later. We also then looked at the issues around how we monitor the work that they do or their performance. And there's a lot of activities that we've put in place to monitor the performance of the of the PIC, and these are all the activities that are then helping us to get to that monitoring stage of our investments. So this is the prior period errors. As I indicated earlier on, we've done the analysis, and there is a lot of work now that is being done. Now that the analysis is done, there's a lot of consultation work that is happening, so that a clear plan on each of the items that are in the prior period error list is attended to by the relevant managers. One of the issues also that had been a challenge had been the accuracy and completeness of our contingent liabilities. And the contingent liabilities are mainly in areas where, for example, we have a potential exposure to a liability, but we cannot quantify it accurately that this is what may be the potential liability, but we know that there is. So we then have to estimate what this potential liability is. And this is a result of the court cases. The COID Act itself creates a platform for any claimant who's not satisfied with the decision of the commissioner or the decision of the DG or the decision of the tribunal to then take their matters to court. So because of such, we then do have cases that are always enrolled in courts, and we need to be able to estimate the liabilities related to this and over and above also the legal cases where some medical service providers would then take the funds to court for delays in payment of medical claims or claimants that may not be satisfied with the decision that has been taken. So we then had a number of activities around the systems that we're using to manage our caseload, as well as the preventative controls through the reviews, as well as the reconciliations that needed to take place. So these are all the activities that we've put in the plan. With regard to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there is also then the process to make sure that we clean up that register and we clear up the cases. A lot of the activities that we've implemented already in the previous actions plans have been about stopping the incurrence of irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But what we have now in this action plan is around those cases that are already in the register. How do we then make sure that we attend to them? Where there is officials that needs to be brought to account, that process takes place so that it can be finalized. Where there's cases that then needs to be taken off the list, those can be done. So the activities that are here are around how do we then clean up this register to make sure that we deal with particularly a lot of the legacy cases that date back to the early 2000s that have been in the register without necessarily any supporting documentation. So the work that is going to happen here is going to be around how do we then get to close off and finalize on those. And there's a number of other matters that have also been raised around the non-compliance to the legislation as a result of supply chain regulations. So these are the activities. These are mainly the preventative as well as detective controls that we're implementing around the supply chain area to make sure that, as well as some of the finance areas, to make sure that those issues are related to compliance, to GRAP, PFMA, and all other relevant prescripts is adhered to. The other issues were related to people management. So these are activities related to the enabling the environment for consequence management, as well as making sure that we also deal with the issues related to a filling of vacancies that are in the organization, sometimes where we struggle to attract some of the skills that we're looking at. So these are all the activities that would then help us to be able to address a lot of the people issues in the organization. That's the end of my presentation. I hope I've been able to. I was just 5 minutes over the allocated time. Apologies. Thank you, Chair.
I did write in the chat that you can go up to quarter past 11. I don't know if are you fine?
I'm done, Chair. I've just got into the last slide.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Honourable Members. And thank you very much, Commissioner Mafada. Honorable members, you'll understand that we have been, since we started in this term, the compensation fund has always been our concern, and we also listening to the AG's report, and we have always been through the ministry that we want an action plan. And I think now this is the action plan that they have tabled. And I will then open for questions. I do see that we have got two guests, Mr. Ted Hope and somebody by the name of Mr. Fazan. You are welcome, but you must understand that yours is just to listen. You are not to ask questions, because questions are then asked by honourable members. Honourable members, there is the presentation. Any taker?
Thank you, Commissioner. It's Michael Bagram, if I may.
Okay, Honourable Bagram. Who else?
Dainer, please, Jay.
Honourable Dainer. Who else? All right. For now, Honourable Bagram, Honourable Dainer.
Thank you, if I may go ahead.
Yes, may.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Mafata and Mr. Mafata. I applaud what you're doing, and I must pay respect to you in the sense that whenever I write to you, you get back to me and you try and sort out those little issues. And I thank you publicly for that. But I must just add, we listened to your plan. I've listened to plans before from the Commission. I've listened to and I've seen plans. You've outlined these for the last, I think, 7 or 8 years. And you certainly, to this committee, you've issued plans in the past. To me, it's starting to sound very hollow. We have plans. We have grand plans. We're very good in South Africa at making plans. The problem is we can't implement them. And the problem is that the people on the ground, the injured workers, will carry on suffering. And obviously we can't condemn this plan right now, because we can do so in 6 months' time and come back to you and say, well, this hasn't worked and that hasn't. And then we can also listen to the Auditor General and see what they have to say, and possibly even the SIU. My real problem is, you've known all along, you failed for the last at least 5 years, I think it's longer now, the audit, and somehow your team doesn't seem to be able to get it together. It's no good putting a grand plan together if we don't incrementally put things properly together. And maybe you can explain to us that when you failed 5 years ago and you came back and said, we're going to sort it out, and you came up with some plans, what happened then? Maybe you just need to explain that to us. But as I said, personally, I want to thank you, because you, as a one-man band, get things right. I think it's your team. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bagram. Honourable Bagram, Honourable Dainer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the Commissioner for the presentation. I just have a few questions. My first one is on the slides 5 and 6, and that's with regards to the progress and the oversight meetings that was held by the Minister and the DG. What was the progress in these meetings that was discussed? Are there minutes of these meetings, and can these minutes be provided to the committee so we can also know what the progress was that was discussed during these meetings? And then also on slide 5, under the AGSA inputs on the plan, a follow-up session was held between the Clean Audit Coordinator and the AGSA on the 22nd of July. I would just like to know what warranted a follow-up session. What was the AGSA's issues that they had that warranted a follow-up session? And also, you indicated that you are still awaiting formal written confirmation from the AGSA that confirms their satisfaction with the design of the action plan. I'd like to know if you've received that. And then also, Chair, slides 10 to 16, the action plans and the timelines specifically. The dates and the timelines of these action plans, were these timelines met, all of them, each of them that have passed already? And if they were not met, which of these timelines were not met and why weren't they met? When will they be met? And if so, can we also have some evidentiary support so we can see this, that these timelines have indeed been met? And then my last question, Chair, also speaking to the timelines, slides 41 and 42 with regards to irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. These timelines, for instance, are very important to curb fruitless and wasteful expenditure specifically. So these timelines that have passed already, I see there are many except for 31 October and 31 December. Have these timelines specifically been met? And if they have not been met, why not? And when will they be met? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. Any other, because I don't see any hands here. I don't know whether members have got a problem with connectivity. Whose hand is this now? Oh, honourable Nontsele. Honourable Nontsele. Your network we can't pick up what you're saying, honorable members. I think there's a problem with your network.
The commission to the questions for you to fill them.
I didn't hear your request.
No, I'm saying maybe just to adjust my screen. Can I log out and log in just in a second?
Okay. While you are doing that, I will. Is there no other person? Just to respond on one question. It's my understanding. If then it was an oversight, if I would say an oversight conducted by the ministry, it is our responsibility. Okay. We will have to ask the ministry about the outcome and the recommendation of that oversight that we were reported that they have conducted in the compensation fund. I don't think it will be Mr. Mafada will have minutes of those meetings here. Safe to say that it will then be the minister together with the DG that we then have to request them to take us through as the portfolio committee of what then the discussions and what they have picked up. So I just wanted to clear that so that we don't put the commissioner in a very difficult space. That's the only one. The rest we can respond to. Is Honorable Nontsele back?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. You may proceed.
Yes.
We have there's a problem with your network. Why don't we? Are you able to? because your network is giving you a serious problem. Why don't we request the commissioner whilst you are still sorting out your network problem? Why don't we request the commissioner to respond to the questions that have been asked? Over to you, Mr. Mafate.
And thank you to the honourable members for the questions. Starting with Honourable Bagrame, so the Honourable Bagrame is correct that we have presented the action plans before the committee before, and every time we've developed subsequent action plans, we've actually indicated these then take over from where the previous action plans have left off. I think the first action plan was about putting in place the basics. Remember, in 2015, for example, the organization was almost at a terrible situation in terms of being able to function. So we had to put in an action plan to make sure that we stabilize the operations of the compensation fund to make sure that we're able to discharge our mandate. And subsequent action plans were then building on that to make sure that we can, once we've stabilized, we can address some of the basic issues that were impacting the ability of the fund to operate. So if you look at the way we've structured the action plans, we actually start first by highlighting what are the controls that we've already put in place, that we've implemented. And these are controls that we've put in place from the previous action plans. And then this action plan that we have then just takes over to make sure that we then finish the process of moving the compensation fund toward a clean audit. I think we know the stance that we've always said when there has been complaints around some of the system developments that we've made in the fund. And we've always indicated that some of these changes that we're making are aimed at making sure that we improve the control environment. So this is what the how I can then respond to Honorable Bagrain. So Honorable Dana, so we are now compiling a progress report as at end of August to make sure so that we can then take stock of everything else that what was due to be implemented as at the end of August. The month of July, we had a process of concurrently implementing some of the activities, but also then doing some of the consultations. Some of these consultations impacted also on some of the activities that had to be implemented. And that's why we're then taking stock now end of August to make sure that everything else that has been done. We can make the progress report available to the committee once we've finalized the compilation of it. Then it will address some of the questions that she had on slide 10 to 16, as well as 41 to 42 on those. But what the follow-up discussions that we've had with the AG. So when we drafted the first, after the first draft of the action plan was completed at the end of June, we then submitted it to the Auditor General. For the Auditor General to check whether we have adequately designed the actions to address the controls that weaknesses that had been highlighted. And we did the same process also with the audit committee. We then received feedback from Auditor General in writing in terms of some of the weaknesses that they see in the action plan. And some of the weaknesses were valid weaknesses, and others were also as a result of the misunderstanding of the activities. And this then warranted those follow-up sessions between management as well as the Auditor General, so that we can then discuss their feedback and also the action plan itself. In some of those follow-up discussions, we then agreed that for certain areas where they needed additional information and detail for them to be able to see whether it's adequate, they would have follow-up sessions with Clean Audit Coordinator. And in some of the areas, they then understood our point. And in other areas, we also then understood their inputs in terms of, I think, and their inputs were mainly around, while they see a lot of controls that we're designing, they're not seeing any reactive as well as preventative controls coming through, or preventative controls as well as monitoring controls. They're seeing a lot of reactive controls in the action plan. So one of the activities that management then had to do during the month of July was to relook at the action plan to check whether the preventative as well as the monitoring controls are adequately included in their plan where they were lacking, and then these were then included and added into the document. So we completed this process, and following the discussions with the senior managers in the AG, and then they indicated with what we have now finalized, they were happy with it. But we did request MORs in the same way that they wrote a letter to highlight the areas where they were not happy with. If they're satisfied with then what we've developed and it addresses all the issues that we had raised before, they should then just confirm that in writing. And as at the time when we submitted the final action plan to the DG for sign-off at the end of July, that written feedback had not arrived. Even now, as I give feedback, that has not arrived. But we then did get confirmation from them verbally, though, after the submission of the final plan on their satisfaction with what we've designed. Chair, I think I've responded to all the questions.
Thank you, Honorable Nonsele.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members, and thanks to Commissioner for the... I might have missed out on the issues relating to consequence management with regard to action plans, particularly these relating to the areas of concern by the AG's report. So if perhaps I've missed out on that because of what I'm going through, my apologies. But I thought that if a commissioner can just also touch on those areas and just update us on progress made, and if not, why not? Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Nonsele. Unfortunately, I think you did miss out. He did outline that and explain what I think from our side is that the action plan has gone through. There has been an interaction with the office of the AG. Maybe when the AG is coming to present to the committee, members must also, I hope they have picked up some of those questions that interaction with the leadership of the compensation fund, because we are to be sure that communication is a communication that is what I'm just trying to get a better word to explain, so that we don't get something from the compensation fund, the other story, and we get the other story from the AG. So it will be important that this plan, and I'm happy that there has been that interaction with the Office of the Auditor General. I think concerns that have been raised by Honorable Bakram on saying this is not the first plan. We have been having plans. Challenges is that I do agree with him on that. And it is then going to be our responsibility in moving forward now as the committee, that we then have to monitor. Maybe I would request members to then say after what will be the time frames that we will put in the committee for the compensation fund led by Mr. Mafada and his team. When are they going to come back? How often are we going to monitor? Because we will have to monitor the implementation. Because if we don't do that, the next team in the next term of 2024, we'll be seated with the same problem, with the same plan. Ours is to as we move forward, tease it, correct it, give credit where it's due, disagree and whatever. But I just want the committee to just say, what is the time frame that we are giving them for them to come back and for us to then be able to monitor that. I think DM, that is, it's something in my view that is then going, is going to be very important. If there are no other questions, I would appreciate if honorable members can respond on this, a reasonable time frame for us to be able to monitor this plan. I'm sure working together, because we can't leave the auditor general out of this. Together with the auditor general, we'll then have, if as the committee we say this is the X number of months that we are giving them, after that they must come back. We'll then have to communicate that with the office of the auditor general, so that there's synergy in what we're doing and the implementation, because we are taking this very, very serious. And I hope the member will understand when I said it will be the ministry and the office of the DG that will tell us of what is it that they have picked up and what is their view in terms of the oversight that they conducted in the entity. Time frames, members, what are we putting?
Okay.
Honorable Dana.
Thank you, Jay. If I may make a suggestion, the commissioner mentioned that they are in the process of compiling a progress report. Maybe if you can give us an indication on when the progress report will be finished, then we can use that as a guideline to set a date for them to come and report back to the committee.
Okay. Any other view? Any other suggestion? So we are all agreeing with the suggestion of Honorable Dana?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Okay, I hear it. If it's Honorable Ngcobo.
Yeah, Honorable Chairperson, I had my... also wanted to go along those lines. Actually, for monitoring purposes, the way it is important, Honorable Chairperson, I actually wanted to even suggest a 3 months for a start, but I said to myself, I'm merely sucking that from my thumb. Maybe I would rather lean more towards the suggestion, Honorable Chair. And then maybe after the first one, then we can maybe see how often, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Thank you, Honorable Ngcobo. Any other comment before I give over to Mr. Mafaka? If there is... Is there a hand up? Whose hand is that? It's Honorable Ngcobo's hand. Okay. Mr. Mafaka?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. So, Chair, what we're planning to do is we're going to produce a progress report every month. So that's a progress report that is going to be submitted to the DG and to the minister on a monthly basis and to the deputy minister. So a progress report will be available on a monthly basis. So as and when the committee wants us, we'll then be able to come present it, Chair. The report we're producing now is the would be the we had presented the draft at a meeting with the minister earlier in the month, but without just finalizing and compiling it, it would cover the peak. It will be the first report that covers up to the end of August, and then from there we'll then produce it on a monthly basis.
Thank you. That is the response, honourable members. I will go back to you, honourable Dana, as the sponsor of the question. What will you then propose? I don't want to.
May I speak, Jane?
Yes, you may.
It sounds like the fund is almost finished with their progress report. So, can I maybe propose that in 2 weeks' time they come and present their progress report up to the end of August, if that's possible?
End of August is okay. Let me reserve my comments for now. Is there any person who is agreeing with that?
Yes, I'm happy to go along with that, Chair Michael Cardo.
End of August, okay.
End of September, not August. We're already in September.
It would be the middle of September.
Honourable Nonsele.
Chair, I think the end of September would make sense, because we are not very much sure as to when has the month-to-month reporting to minister has started. So if perhaps we can then say end September, so that we include the period that we have already started to have an insight of the action plans. And then by the time we look at into the report, would have been able at least to make an objective and thorough assessment of the progress made. So end of September, for me, or the proposal that have been made, I think is quite fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members.
Chair, can I come in as well? Michael Bagram.
Honourable Bagram.
Not only will a report come at the end of September, but maybe also Commissioner Mufata might be able to give us some results of what he said he's already started implementing, some of the changes and some of the suggestions, and maybe you could give us some happy stories. I think this committee needs to be cheered up, so it would be nice to hear from him.
Thank you, Honourable Bagram. I don't think that will be a problem. If there are no other questions, I think Honourable Commissioner, these deliberations and these questions that have been asked there and the comments and suggestions that have been made here, I I'm not implying that you are not taking them serious, that you are here with your team, the entire team, I think they must really understand that this time around, we mean business. Yes, the door stops with you, but I hope what they have picked up, what they have been listening to and hearing, what members' concerns, suggestions, and comments, they must really take it serious, because at the end of the day, you are.
Having to get feedback from, and I think even Commissioner Mafata can also even attest to the fact. as to how far is the progress on this, all the matters and all the other outstanding issues that we might not have been able to respond to. So for now, we will keep at that. We are under your command, Honorable Chair. So whenever you need September, I think that will be in our records and calendar that we're supposed to come back and give you feedback. And with those few words, Chair, Honorable Chair, I thank you. I would like to, in fact, two things.
Recording in progress.
I take this challenge of the compensation fund serious. That we have demanded an action plan is a sign that we are concerned. And the concern is not for us, it's not about us, it's about the ordinary people that are serviced by this entity. It's quite a very important, one of the most important entities in the environment and the sphere of the of labor. Two, I want to say to all the managers that are here, all that they have been taking their work serious, but we hope that when the AG comes and reports to us, there will really be a change. We hope so. Otherwise, if we don't see that change, I don't want to use the words, but we will have challenges. There will be a TM who will not take that very kind. Because the reason that we're here, among other things, is the outcome of the AG's report and how some of the managers have been doing their work. And Mr. Mafata, As the captain of the ship, please ensure that you steer the ship. It's not going to be easy. It's not a work that is to be done over a month. But we must see as we move on that by the end of 2022, I make an example, we will be proud as this committee that we are finishing our term in 2024 with having corrected a number of things that have then been a challenge in this. Having said that, DM, as the political leader that is here, we must get that report at least 7 days before month end. And I mean it on behalf of the committee. 7 days. We're not going to get it 3 days. So from now on, we must then prepare. From now on, you must not prepare. We don't want any stories, because this is a report that is going to need that we really look into all the nitty-gritties. Not that we're not looking into all the nitty-gritties, but it's one of our very important and important entities. And as we are taking our work serious, we are really taking this serious, and our focus and dedication, as I have said, it's not about us, it's about the people of this country. And I want to thank honorable members for your commitment in ensuring that at least together with all the challenges that we're having, together,
we ensure that at least the situation of this entity, like all entities, but this one in particular, because remember, the issue of it having a disclaimer is a bitter pill to swallow, and we have to ensure that that situation improves. It's not going to be very easy, I know, but we must see that people are committed, and managers, I want to emphasize on this, managers, the team of managers led by Mr. Mafada is to ensure that at least, and I want to thank Honorable Bigram, and that's what we are to do as honorable members, give credit where credit is due, because if a manager is not coming back when you have picked up a phone and ask, I hope the DG is here, and ask a assistance, and you don't get that, it's not right. It's not right. That's why they are there. They are there to assist us. That's why we are here. We are here to assist them. So it's a two-way process. And I want to thank you, Mr. Bigram, for reflecting on that. And I hope they are not going to relax now. And I think it's all of us, we are to do that, because we do, when we phone, they really do come back to us, or we get a report that they have corrected ABCT. Thank you very much, honorable members. We are tabling our report on the Convention 190, we are the first. So I don't want us not to prepare, because obviously I know there will be deliberations. But yeah, I think we've come to the end of our meeting. For in whatever changes that are going to be there, we will inform members in good time, and the reports will then be the first and second and the third and the fourth quarter will then be circulated by the committee section for members to prepare themselves. Thank you very much, honorable members. Our meeting is stand adjourned.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Short and sweet. You've done it well.
Thank you. You have done it well. Thank you, Mr. Mafata and your team.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members.